Hey everyone. Today I can feel, I can touch, I can hear, I can sing. Boy, this is my world. It's good. In fact, I've come here with my checklist. Let me just see if I can find what I'm looking for, just to be safe. Yep, here we are. First thing I can check off my list is, guess what, I'm in church. Yeah. Secondly, I've got my dad rags on, I got my Sunday best on, tick. And you know what, I have Christian parents, they were really, they were missionaries even, tick. Whoa. And I was born in a Christian country, tick. Well, oh, I'm facing the wrong direction. And here is my Bible. Yes, I love it. Do you know? And I've even read some of the small print. I even know some of the verses. So in a minute, I'll just put that down there. Let me just see. That was a tick. That was a big tick. I forgot about that. So one of the things is, checkbook. Yes, a big church, a big check for Life Center. Tick. Yep. A minute. I read the small print. Oh yeah, mint, dill, and cumin. Tell you what, when I've got a bit of time, I'll separate it into 10 piles, and a tenth of it goes to the church. Have you read that in the Bible? That's the small print. Hang on a minute. Oh, that's alright. Okay, sorry about that. And Oh yes. I've got my passport. Goes in my back pocket. Said the sinner's prayer. Oh yeah. I'm set. I've even got a bag of scriptures on it. Oh yeah. I think I remember everything. Everything. Oh yeah. Shouldn't have any problems. But you know what? I don't feel very safe. I don't feel very secure. What if I trip? What if there's a bit of a problem down the line? Maybe a cliff or something. What if it's not all right at the end of the day? Is there anyone that can help me? Hello? Is there even Nathan around to help me? Oh, that's better. Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. What a difference. Being able to see lakes. Oh, never mind. New accessory. Didn't plan it, but never mind. Right. Hold on. I'm just going to start with praying, because boy do I need God's help. Father God, you be exalted.
Yes.
Father God, I need you to help me. I need your help, Holy Spirit. Just come, Holy Spirit. Just give me the words to say, and teach us, Lord, your way. Set us on fire for you, Father. You be exalted in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so when people are blindfolded, they can feel lost, they can feel unsafe, they can feel empty inside and worried. But you know what, unlike me, I knew I was blindfolded. A lot of people aren't blind, don't know they're blindfolded at all. So the first, right away the verses. Can I have the first verse up, please? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 6. This is what it's all about, in case you're wondering. I'm just going to read it now. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. For the God of this age, that's Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of Christ. Of God, yeah. And for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as what?
Lord. Lord.
Say it again.
Lord.
Say it again.
Lord.
So not just my friend. No, Lord. That's a big difference, all right? And ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. So the question is, Do we care? There's millions, actually billions of people that are wandering around without hope and who are facing a lost eternity. Hell is real. Do we care? This is really important. And also, how can we help? How can we help them, people that are lost and in danger? So it's always good to start with imitating Jesus, okay? So let's look at John chapter 4, verses 7 to 26. So Samaritans were people that the Jews did not normally associate with, and men did not usually associate with women. So it was a double thing here that's happening with Jesus. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus, who was sitting at the well, said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you've nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as also did his sons and livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty. I won't have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I've got no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You're right when you say you've got no husband. Fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you've said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you don't know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know the Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, am he." So Jesus stopped for the one. He stopped for the most despised of the despised of the despised. Not only was she a woman and a Samaritan, but she had a bit of a bad track record. And fact is, she came out to draw waters when other people weren't there in the heat of the day, so that she wouldn't have the embarrassment of people talking about her. But she stopped. Jesus stopped for her with love and compassion. But he got down to her level. He started to talk to her about where she was at with regard to just water. And he used questions to make her think, to help take off her blindfold. So let's look at her reaction to this. John chapter 4, verses 28 and 29. Then, leaving her water jar, which is unusual, because that's what she came there for, is water, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" Wow. The truth had set her free. No longer was she hiding in the shadows, afraid to mix with other people, ashamed of her past. The truth that set her free. Her story touched other people and drew them closer to Jesus. Guess what? We each have a story. Guess what? God wants us to gossip about him.
Yeah.
Wherever we go, ask God for opportunities. God, help me to gossip with people that they will know that Jesus is alive. They will know that God makes a difference. That they will know that we don't come to a dead church to worship a dead God, dead religion. What's the point of that? We're not pew warmers, are we? We're out for adventure with God, and that's what we're trying to share with other people. So I thought I'd tell you a wee bit, sort of from my own experience of what my life is like, a little bit. So I have the privilege of doing some voluntary work, and I meet individuals from all walks of life, and many of them, probably most of them, are either atheists or agnostics, people who don't believe in God or don't see that God matters, people who are bitter at God, people who don't believe the Bible. They really are a bit like that lady. They're blindfolded to the truth. They don't know they're blindfolded. So I'm just going to give you some ideas of how I try and partner with God to reach out to them in compassion, to help them to see that God is real and that he's alive. So one of the things, and again, we can all do this, is share encouraging stories of miracles, either miracles in my life, miracles in someone else's life, or you could share a Bible story of a miracle. But why I do it more up to date is that so they will know that miracles are not just for the Bible times, they're for now as well. So I want to whet their appetites for God. I try and ask them questions to make them think. You know, you can't see God, and in the West we like to be able to touch and feel and see. But we don't see the wind, but we can see the leaves move. Isn't that right? Yeah? We can't see God at the minute, most of us, but we can see his fingerprints. When you think about it, every single snowflake is different. Every single grain of sand is different. And if I was to take one of you individuals, completely different, no one ever been like you before or after, and you wrote out all the information in the DNA, and you put it in books, it would fill lots of libraries full of information about that one person. Though these are fingerprints of a very intelligent creator. So just like you look at this building and you think, I wonder who built that? Well, similarly, when you look at how amazingly intricate creation is, you think, someone very intelligent did that. Do you know, when you have a bomb, things get destroyed. So the Big Bang, I mean, like it takes more faith in the Big Bang or in evolution, you know. And in fact, just for your interest, Charles Darwin became a Christian before he died, and he felt very bad that people had taken his theory and made a religion out of it. So, let me just see. So, Paul, in Acts chapter 17, verses 2 and 3, he had another way of doing things. As was his custom, this is the Apostle Paul in the Bible, went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with the Jews from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah, he said. So here you go. Reasoning and logic are actually really important because God did not give us brains so that we leave them at the door and believe a fairy tale. Okay? There's stacks and stacks of evidence. So is everyone with me, or is people going to sleep yet? Just give me a wave if you're still with me. I don't want you to get overwhelmed by facts and stuff. But you know, like the Bible, like the more you get into it, the more interesting it is. Would you believe that way before men found this out, God knew about it? He wrote down about there were paths in the sea for the fish. He knew about that. He talked about migration of birds before the people worked it out. He talked about the fact that you've got to wash your hands in running water to stop infection. You could have saved a lot of lives if they'd listened to him in the first place. He told them that the earth isn't flat. All sorts of things. You could go on and on. And you know what? People say things like, oh, that story of Jonah, that's just a fairy tale. But guess what? There's been two people more recently that have survived being swallowed by whales. And when they excavated Nineveh, they found a carving of their fish god with a man coming out of it. Okay, so, and it's the same distance from one end to the other that it says in the Bible. So even more astounding, I've got a wee question for you. Let's see who's a good Bible scholar. How many prophecies about Jesus did he fulfill? Can anyone give me a number? Don't look it up on Google, no cheating. Okay, 324. How about that? That is scientifically pretty much impossible. You can't plan where you're going to be born. You can't plan who you're going to be born to. You can't plan that when you're a baby you're going to be taken as a refugee to Egypt. You can't plan where you're going to die and how you're going to die. And the other thing about Israel, Israel is an interesting one. Israel was scattered to the nations, and at Passover they used to say to each other, next year in Jerusalem. They must have got really tired about it, because 2,000 years on, they were still saying it. But then, 1948 came, and God fulfilled the prophecy in Jeremiah, which said he would bring them back to their own land, which seemed impossible. And one very up-to-date prophecy about Israel in Psalm 83 is, all the nations will say Israel should cease to exist. What's happening right now? From the river to the sea. That means annihilation of Israel. So we can know we're on a firm footing here. They've got evidence for the fact that what has been said hundreds of years before Jesus came to pass now, and there's stuff now coming to pass that Jesus said, the Bible said was going to happen. Okay, so another thing that I try and do is pray with people. If they give me the chance, I'll pray with them. So one of the things I like to do is just include a bit of Bible verses in my prayer, because the entrance of God's word brings light. And if you say, oh, thank you, God, that their name is written on the palm of, you know, God's hands, and thank you that they are treasures in your eyes, it's planting seeds of the word of God into their minds, which can bear fruit later on. But also, God's told us to pray for the sick. And if you get the chance, it's good to step out and pray. Now, not begging, okay? Not begging, but actually taking authority. And when people experience healing, it wakes them up. It's like, oh, maybe there is a God. I've actually seen that. Maybe there is a God. And they want to know more. All of a sudden, well, what's this all about? You're changing my mind. I'm going to talk about the disciples in a minute and how they did it. But Elijah, just think about this. Elijah prayed 7 times for rain. First 6 times, no rain. The 7th time, there's a cloud the size of a man's fist. We give up too quickly with prayer and commanding disease and pain and everything to go. We pray once and think, well, that didn't work. We'll take medicine for years. But if we persist and be expectant, it can make a really big difference. So I just want to look at what the disciples did in Acts chapter 3, verses 2 to 8. Now, a man who was lame from birth, that's a long time, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John, that's Jesus' disciples, about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Wow. So the disciples, we can imitate the disciples who imitated Jesus. They stopped for the one with love and compassion. They didn't beg or question God. Whether or not And perhaps he wouldn't want to heal. Perhaps he hadn't got the power to heal. They copied what Jesus did and expected results. We need to be expectant. Our prayers are not just hitting the ceiling and back. They're not just words. You know, so look at his reaction, the man. He started to get excited and his eyes were open. It's like the blindfold had been taken off. God's alive. He makes a difference. So he started to walk and leap and praise God. And what I haven't said here is it goes on to tell you that other people were interested. So they were wanting to hear about God and they were open to hear about God. So praying for people for healing can open a door for them to hear about God. Okay, so let's just see what the disciples did sometimes, which we need to do too. So Acts chapter 4, verses 29 to 31. On this occasion, they were being threatened by the authorities, which actually might happen to us one day. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hands to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After they prayed, the place that they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So I don't know about you, but I really need courage, because it takes courage. And it's not just courage, it's like the willingness to be rejected, the willingness to be looking a fool for Jesus. But we need to ask God for courage. We need to ask him to fill us with the Holy Spirit. We need to ask him to stretch out his hand as we pray. It's him that does the healing. So we can ask him as well for love. It says that in Romans 5, God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We can ask for compassion. Here's what about Jesus. Jesus was moved with compassion. He saw that the crowds were helpless and confused, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So the question is, are we willing to be his workers? I've just got another wee illustration here. Hold on a minute. Look at this. It's my favourite. My favourite light in the house. Isn't it lovely? Really sleek. Hold on a minute. I'm going to dust it, just, you know what I mean? It's been sitting around a wee while, a bit dirty. Yeah, nice and shiny. Yeah. There's a guarantee with it and instructions with it, but there's a wee bit of a problem. Can anyone see any light?
No.
No light? What? Oh. Maybe that's got something to do with it. What do you reckon? Yeah?
Yeah.
So, let's just look up John chapter 15, verses 39 and 40. Right, going down to 39, okay? You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. So the thing about it is, if that light isn't plugged in and switched on, doesn't matter how good it looks, does it? No. Could be at Sunday best, could be in a church, anything, but it's not going to work. Because the point is, we need to plug in. We need a relationship with Jesus. We need to connect with him intimately and connect our lives with him so that his power can flow through us, so that we can be lights in the darkness, so that these blindfolds can be taken off. Because it's not just about us, it's about Christ in us. It's, you know, we can do our little bit, but if we're connected to God, he takes the little that we do and he increases it. So what I want to say is, well, first of all, Jesus is the light of the world as well, and he shines through us as light. So it's not about religion. Head knowledge is not enough. Simply believing is not enough. Even demons believe and tremble. Just saying I love Jesus isn't even enough. How about that? That's a bit of a shock, isn't it? Jesus said love equals obedience. Jesus must be Lord. Just like at the beginning it said, Jesus must be Lord. He's got to be the boss. And Jesus said what the two commandments are, we're going to love God with all our heart and mind and soul and strength. and all of us, and we have to love our neighbours as ourselves, which is caring enough to stop for the one and devoting our lives to obeying God and to living for Him and being connected to Him. Now, how would you know if your blindfold has been removed? It says in Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we feel safe and secure, confident and satisfied. And just before we finish, I want to just look at Jesus' final instructions before he went to heaven in Mark chapter 16. And he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. So we've got our marching orders. The question is, are we ready and willing to be his ambassadors for Jesus, to be a light in the darkness for those around us who are lost? May God fill our hearts with his love for the people we meet daily. May he give us open doors to share, and let's let our light shine and take the opportunities he gives. The rest is up to him.